First Peter chapter 4 tonight, let's begin to read in verse 12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. If you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. And on their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. I reckon how he's glorified on our part. You ever think about that? Because of the suffering. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. I've always found that very interesting, that passage of Scripture there, because he is talking about not letting us suffer, or we shouldn't suffer, as a murderer, as a thief, or as an evildoer. And then he said a busybody in other men's matters. You see the company that a busybody keeps, you see. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God, and if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator. You can be seated tonight. Heavenly Father, we thank you for helping us. We pray that you'd come by for just a few minutes. We pray that you would touch while we might preach. And Lord, we're going to ask you for help and to anoint us afresh tonight. I pray that if there's somebody here that needs some direction or comfort, or maybe they're struggling tonight, I pray that you would touch them and help them. Maybe somebody that's lost, I pray that they'd get saved this evening. Lord, I pray that you'd guard our mind and our thought. I pray that you would settle our mind and our heart tonight. And Lord, as we look to you, that we could find what we need. Again, Lord, I just pray for some help. We'll tell you again, we love you. Save that sinner its nearest tail for all this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Now, this passage of Scripture has to deal with the two words that none of us like. And that's trials and suffering. I don't know anybody that gets up in the morning and says, boy, today would be a good day for me to face a trial or to go through suffering. I don't know anybody that excels or just is excited that they might get to suffer. And I'm one of them. I don't care nothing about it and don't care nothing for it. But as you live in this life and the older you get, the more you realize there's going to be suffering. Job tells us in Job 14, he said, man that is born a woman is a few days and full of trouble. Job 5, it said that as yet man is born unto trouble, as the sparks fly upward. And so we know that just being on planet Earth causes trouble. Now, there's no doubt about that. We're living in a fallen world, in a fallen body. It has a sin nature, and the world has a sin nature, and by it, we're just going to suffer. Sometimes suffering happens. I've preached on it thousands of times. That may be exaggerating a little bit, but it feels like that sometimes. But sometimes we suffer simply because we're here. And sometimes we suffer simply because of some decisions that we've made. Sometimes we've made bad decisions and we suffer for that. And there's just no way around that. And to be honest with you, if you look back in the book of 2 Samuel, you'll find out that David suffered through some things because of some decisions that he made. The Bible tells us over there, out of all that David committed, that adultery with Bathsheba, he murdered Uriah, and the seer come over there to him. He come over there to him and told him, he said, the sword will never depart from your house. God has forgiven you, but the sword will never depart. And so that means he was going to have to deal with things that he had never had to deal with simply because of decisions that he had made. But when we look right here, he's not talking about suffering because of decisions we made. He's not talking about suffering because we're on planet Earth. He's talking about suffering as a Christian. He's talking about suffering because we have trusted Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. And he's talking about that. And let me say this tonight quickly, that in our suffering, I'm glad there's somebody there. I do not understand the world tonight, how they can get through this world in what all they have to deal with, just in the world itself in suffering. But I do know this, that Jesus has gave us some help and is a help in a time of need. John 14 and 18, he said, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. I'm glad that in the midst of our suffering, whether it is just here on planet Earth, whether it is something that we have done to cause it, or whether it is because we are a Christian and because we're saved and we're living for Him, He will be there to help us. I'm thankful tonight that in the midst of our suffering, He is there. The psalmist in Psalms 119 said this, "This is my comfort in my affliction." He said, "For thy word hath quickened me." I'm glad that I've got a book in the midst of my affliction, in the midst of my trouble, in the midst of my trials, in the midst of my suffering, that we can open this book and find some help. Well, how many times have you had to say, Lord, I just need some word, I need some scripture that you would help me with. I need something that you'll give me that'll help me. And some of you have told me about that time where you've asked God. And you know what He does? He'll give you some scripture to help you. Now, let me say this. Brother Jeff even talked about this in Sunday school this morning. How that in the book of Colossians, let me go over here and find out in Colossians chapter 3. In Colossians chapter 3, and this was part of the Sunday school this morning, for you that wasn't up here. But in Colossians chapter 3, he said, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom." So the word dwells in us. It's in us. You need to put it in there. He said, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee." He said, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another." How? "In psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." Let me ask you something this morning, or this evening. Boy, I'm back on this morning. I was on this morning, and on this morning, this evening. I'm just backwards, Brother Wayne. But he said right here, to what? In psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, that we can be admonished, that we can be taught. I'm going to tell you, as we sing with grace in our hearts to the Lord, I'm telling you, sometimes not only is it out of this book that we read it, but it's out of singing that we'll find some help sometimes. I think you need to keep a song. I really do. I'm telling you, every time that we sing page 162, Living by Faith, my mind rolls back to that time when I was preaching revival up there on the mountain, and I just needed some help. I mean, I just needed some help. I mean, we'd got bad news, and I mean, here I am in the middle of revival, and I mean, just needed some help. And the very first song that Brother Caldwell got up to sing, page 162, Living by Faith. Amen. It helped me. I'm telling you, sometimes you just need something that'll help you, and God will send it your way. Amen. I remember hearing Brother Buddy Gallion say this one time. He said he was just in a bad way, and that's when their granddaughter was dying with cancer. And he told me this. He said, "I was coming down the road," and he said, "I was just in a bad way." And he said, "God put me a song on the radio." And he said, "That thing turned everything around for me." I'm telling you, sometimes God can turn that thing around for you, and I'm glad of that tonight. Now listen, we've got each other. I've been preaching on that for the past two Sunday mornings, talking about showing grace and charity and hospitality. Listen, in a time of suffering, you should have the church tonight. You should have somebody that ought to want to help you. The Bible said in Galatians 6, bear you one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. We should want to be able to undergird somebody and help somebody. And listen tonight, church, listen to me now. There's going to be times that you're going to suffer and be in trials and afflictions and you're going to need some help and you're going to find it at the church. If you'll let somebody know, hey, I just need a little help. I need you to pray. I need you just when you pray, just remember me. We can't help you if we don't know what you're going through. I don't know all your business. But we can't help you if we don't know. To suffer means to feel or bear what is painful. It's disagreeable or something that is distressing to the mind or the body or to endure. That word trial means an examination by test, by experience and affliction. And then he said this, Webster did, talking about a trial. He said it is suffering that puts strength, patience, and faith to the test. And that's what a trial is. So as we look at this tonight, I just want to look for a minute or two on a very simple message on trials and suffering. First of all, number one, the reason that we suffer. We've already talked about how that we suffer for because we're here. We suffer because of some decision we made. But if you look in verse 14, he said, if you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are you. Look in verse 16. He said, yet if any man suffer as a Christian. Can I ask you tonight, how many of us have suffered in the nation that we're living in tonight that we have suffered persecution for the name of Christ? I don't know too many people that have. Now maybe you have, and you can tell me that story when we get done. But I'm going to tell you, there are people in this world tonight that are suffering because of the name of Christ. They have got saved in communistic countries. Listen, the country, the government is what it's all about. But here, it's all about the Lord Jesus Christ. The government in a communistic country does not want you to believe in Jesus. They want you to depend on the government. Well, that's what our government wants tonight, ain't it? Amen. But I'm dependent on Him. I'm looking to Him. Listen, but He said that we are going to suffer because of it. Now, we do have an adversary. But He'll make us suffer. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walking about seeking whom he may devour. You know what the next verse said? It said, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Listen, it is the adversary that is going to afflict us sometimes. He will afflict our mind. He will afflict our body. We see that with Job over there, don't we? We just got done teaching about him a few months ago. But you know what he said in verse 10 of the same chapter? He said, but the God of all grace, who hath called you unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have what? Suffered a while. Make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Sometimes we're just going to have to suffer. I don't know how to make that sound any better because I don't think that I can. Sometimes we're just going to suffer. Sometimes it is a sickness that we're going to have to suffer. I don't know why the Lord would allow those things to happen, but sometimes He does. If you love the Lord, if you're saved tonight and you love God and you want to serve Him, there is an enemy out there to try to stop you. And not only is there the enemy and not only is there the adversary, but he has his people. I mean, because if you look right here, what did he say? Let me see if I can find it. He said, but rejoice as much as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. If you be reproached for the name of Christ, who's going to do that? Who's going to reproach you for the name of Christ? Well, it's the world's going to do that. The devil's crowd. It sure shouldn't be the church. You know, I had a fellow tell me this one time, and he had got saved, and every Sunday when he'd go to church, he said, and he's still this way, man. He wants to talk about the Lord all the time. I mean, he wants to talk about the Lord. He wants to talk about the Bible. He wants to talk about something that has something to do with church or the Bible or God. I mean, that's just his nature now that he got saved. And he was telling about where he went to church at when he got saved. And he said, I come in one day and he was talking, this is at church. And he said, finally, he said, one of them old men told me, he said, brother, we don't have to talk about the Lord all the time. That would scare me. That would scare me. I mean, if somebody's upset because somebody's talking about God, I begin to wonder about your salvation, at least with your life with the Lord. I will say this, if somebody ain't right with God, that's the last thing they won't talk about. I mean, that's the last thing they want to deal with is talking about God and the Bible in church. Man, they don't want to talk about that stuff. But the world right here, he said, if you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are you, for the spirit of the glory, for the spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part, he is evil spoken of. The world. They don't understand the Lord. They don't understand us, and nor are they going to. And a lot of people just hate us because of what we believe. How do you figure that? 2 Timothy chapter 3, he said this in verse 3 when he talked about the signs of the time. At the end time, one of them was despisers of those that are good. Matthew chapter 5, the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said this, blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely. And then he said this, for my sake. You realize it's all about him. People hate us because of him. It's not the church. It's not the Baptist church. People do struggle with the Baptist church. They really do, because they say that we're the church of can't. You know, you can't smoke, you can't drink, you can't dance, you can't have no fun. Amen. That's right. I'm good with it. I'm good with that. Amen, amen, amen. I'm good with it. The world is against God. They really are. And by the way, he would save the world if they'd come to him. Amen. I don't know how many of us have ever suffered at the hands of others for the cause of Christ, but I'll be honest with you, I really can't think of suffering any. Maybe with the devil. And I know with the devil that I've done that. I know that he's been against me. And by the way, he's against you too if you're going to serve the Lord. But he talks about the suffering and the trial. We suffer, he said, but rejoice as much as you're partakers of Christ's suffering. But notice in verse 12, now I'm talking about the reasoning for the suffering because of the name of Christ, but he talks about it also being a fiery trial in verse 12. It's not only a trial, but a fiery trial. Well, that's kind of scary, ain't it? I think we know some boys that went through a fiery trial. Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I think we know those men. I mean, you go back to the book of Daniel, we learn about them. We learn about Daniel. We learn about the Apostle Paul. You remember what God told Ananias over there when he told him to go over there and pray for Saul of Tarsus? You remember what he told him? He told him a bunch of stuff. I'm going to get him before kings. I'm going to get him before all that. But he said, I'm going to show him what things he must what? He must suffer. You ever wonder why the Apostle Paul had to suffer? I've wondered about that. I can give you some reasons. I think one of them is because of how he persecuted the church. I do. I believe that with all my heart. I believe it's because how he persecuted the church. But another too was to keep him close to the Lord. But you know, when we go through trials and tribulations and suffering, sometimes that's to remove things in us that don't belong there. Sometimes that fiery trial is to burn something out. You know, if you go back to 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 7, he said that the trial, well, let me back up one. Wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations. That word manifold means many. And he said, you're heavy. You know, we want to come in and we want to bear up under the tribulations and the trials. And we want to keep a smile on our face, and I like having a smile on my face. But I'm going to be honest with you, those things get heavy sometimes. I've told you this a million times over, pastoring this church, you all are such an easy church to pastor. Now, I'll be honest with you, I don't have anything else to compare it to, really, because this is the only church I've ever pastored. So for 22 years, this has been a real easy church to pastor in my mind, but I've talked to too many other pastors. But I'm going to be honest with you, pastoring gets heavy sometimes. I mean, it really does. It gets heavy. And he says that it's heavy through the manifold temptations. And I preached on that, what, 6, 7, 8 months ago about temptations, how that sometimes temptation does mean to be tried to draw away and that to sin. But sometimes that word temptation also means a trial. When we look at it in the Bible. Because he said in verse 7 that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and honor and the glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Our faith's going to get tried. It's not always a fun time. You know, Jesus said in John chapter 15, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husband. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it might bring forth more fruit. How does he purge it? Sometimes he can purge it by telling us, we'll read in the scripture of what we need to do, the Holy Spirit will convict us, and it'll get fixed. But sometimes that trial is there to take stuff out of our life that don't need to be there. Let me ask you something. How well do we do sometimes when the pressure gets put on? You know, the Apostle Paul bowed up under a lot of pressure, but he remained faithful. Daniel bowed up under the pressure, but he remained faithful. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego bowed up under the pressure, but he remained faithful. And the very man's book that we're reading right here, that at the trial of the Lord Jesus Christ, when the pressure got put on, he didn't do so good. Peter stood out there outside the door where Jesus was being tried at, and three different times, and that last one over there next to the fire, he said, I know not the man. And then not only that, he cussed a while. And then that rooster crowed, and Jesus looked at him. How do we bear up under the trial sometimes? Maybe it's to get our attention. Maybe it's for others to see what we're going through. But there is going to be a suffering. What is our reasoning for going through it? Sometimes we don't even know why. Sometimes. We don't know. And let me come back to this. You ever made that statement, I'm just going to suffer in silence? Sometimes that's what folk do. They suffer in silence. But our response to the suffering and the trial, if you look back in verse 12, he said, you think it strange. Do we think it strange when we suffer and go through trials? You know, that word strange means odd or foreign. It means unusual or unacquainted. Strange to us. You meet a stranger, it's somebody you don't know. Until you get to know them, then they're not a stranger anymore. But he said, you think it's strange. And I'm afraid that in our response to the suffering and the trial that we go through for serving Jesus Christ, we think it's strange. As a matter of fact, I'm going to tell you, sometimes that when you decide that you're going to serve Christ and you're going to sell out, the suffering might get worse. Well, don't that want to make you shout? Don't that get you excited about serving God? But notice what he said right here. He said we act as though some strange thing happened to us, but he said, but rejoice. He didn't say sit down in the floor and get the mully grubs and roll your lip out. He said rejoice, be happy over the fact that we are partakers of Christ's suffering. You know, that's a hard thing to do, ain't it? To rejoice when we're going through a trial. To rejoice when we're having to suffer. That's hard. I'm talking about suffering for the cause of Christ. Yeah, I heard one preacher say one time I was in meeting with him and he said every time I preach this message right here, something bad happens. He said, man, we've had car wrecks and all kinds of stuff. I'm thinking, well, maybe you ain't paying attention when you drive. I don't know, brother. I don't know. Then again, maybe the devil was mad. I'm determined the devil does get mad sometimes when you get help and when I get help. Amen. I'm determined he's real mad when folk get saved, but when God's people gets help and decides that they want to draw closer to God, I'm telling you right now he gets upset. Yes. He don't mind you coming to church as long as you'll just be worldly. Amen. He don't mind that. I mean, you're already saved. If you're saved, he can't change that. But he sure don't want you drawing close to God. He sure don't want you having peace and joy in your heart. But boy, if you sell out, you begin to sell out, things are going to happen. Why can we rejoice? Now, notice what he said in verse 13. He said, but rejoice in as much as you're partakers of Christ's suffering. Look in verse 14. He said, if you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. Rejoice. And he said, that ought to make you happy. He said, why? If you go back to verse 13, that when his glory shall be revealed, I almost believe we're talking about the advent right there when Jesus comes. When he's revealed in his glory, you may be glad also with exceeding joy that you've remained faithful, that you went through it, that you didn't quit. That when he came, you know why we our response to the suffering, boy, I don't know what's coming this afternoon, I don't know what's coming tonight, I don't want no suffering, Lord. And by the way, we don't get our druthers on whether we won't suffer or not. But why we rejoice is because we're partakers of Christ's suffering. We're reproached for the name of Christ. But how is that? You know, even through all the suffering of the trials, even through all the heartache and the pain, and even the lack of faith sometimes, you know, he said He is what on their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. He's glorified through our suffering and our trial when we remain faithful through it all. You ever seen somebody quit because it got so bad? I have. I've seen preachers quit. I've got one preacher on my mind right now. He got sick. He had some kind of incurable disease that, I mean, I couldn't tell you what it was. But man, he just quit. Just quit. I can show you preachers' wives that after their husband passed away, they just quit. I don't understand that. I hope I don't ever understand that. But Paul put it like this when he talked about in 2 Corinthians 12, when he talked about that messenger of Satan that came to buffet him, And here's what God told him. My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecution, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. That suffering will make us stronger in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is glorified when we suffer. How many of us can rejoice in that? I want you to take your Bible and go to the book of Acts chapter 5. So I really want you to underline this in your Bible tonight. The early church is just getting started. Acts 5 verse 40. And I love to hear them pages turning. Acts 5 and verse 40. And the Bible said, and to him they agreed. And when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus, and let them go. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house they cease not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. After they beat them and told them not to teach in his name, they left, and the Bible said that what? They rejoiced. They rejoiced that they were counted worthy to suffer. Are we counted worthy to suffer? You know what the Apostle Paul said in Philippians 3, and I may preach this coming up, these verses here, because these are some deep verses, man. But in Philippians 3, he said that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Paul said, I want to know not only what it means to know that I know him, I want to know what it means to know to be resurrected in the power of his resurrection. But then he said the fellowship of his sufferings and being made conformable to his death. I want to model my life after him. Not only in the resurrection, but in his suffering. Take your Bible and go to the book of 2 Corinthians. Ain't this exciting tonight? Look in verse 11, or 2 Corinthians 11, look in verse 16. I say again, let no man think me a fool. If otherwise, yet as a fool receive me, that I may boast myself a little. That which I speak it not after the Lord, but as it were foolishly in the confidence of boasting. Seeing that many glory after the flesh, I will glory also. For ye suffer fools gladly, seeing ye yourselves are wise. For ye suffer if a man bring you into bondage, and if a man devour you, if a man take of you, if a man exalt himself, if a man smite you on the face. I speak as concerning reproach, as though we had been weak. Howbeit, wherein soever any is bold, I speak foolishly, I am bold also. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they of the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool, I am more. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. You know what Paul's telling them right here? He said, look, he said, they may suffer, but I'll guarantee you, I've suffered more than they have. He said, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren. Man, he's been in perils everywhere, ain't he? In weariness and painfulness, in watching often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, besides those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Think none of us sitting in here. I know just about every one of your all stories. Think none of us sitting in here suffered like Paul did. And he done it all for the cause of Christ. Everything he did was for Jesus Christ. What do we do for him? Romans 8, Paul said this, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Look in verse 19. I'm going to close. Wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator. This is right after he told us that judgment ought to begin at the house of God. We ought to judge some things that's in our life. But then he comes down here and talks about suffering according to the will of God. Now, ain't that a statement? Suffering according to the will of God. You realize it is the will of God that we suffer. And there is a way to suffer. He talks about suffering according to the will of God. And he says, if we do that, he said, look, we're to commit our soul, commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator. He is the one that made us. He is the one that created. He's the one that created the suffering. And he says, we are to commit unto him as a faithful Creator. We're to stay faithful to him because he's faithful to us through every bit of it. You know, we are to rely on him. I'm going to tell you, suffering ain't no fun. Fighting a battle. Listen, it's one thing if we can punch somebody in the nose. It's one thing. Might make you feel better. Or they might punch you in the nose. I don't know. But I can tell you this right now, fighting a spiritual battle, suffering through some things and going through some trials is not fun. It's not. But I do know this, there has always been somebody there to help me through it.
Amen.
Let's bow our heads tonight.